Anthony the Game.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Yeah, that's right. We're not worried about hard work. We're worried about the robots. That old school intro, whole year old, reminded me that, yeah, we haven't done a good robot story in a while. I feel like that's what they want. That's what the machines want, Magnum. They want me to be calm. They want me to be complacent. They want me to be comfortable. They want me to think that their reign, and CES was just here. How did I not hit all those robot stories with CES? Oh, yeah, NFL playoffs, that's why.
Yeah. Now, I am heading to Tokyo on Thursday.
Boy.
And
you know what's there.
Yes, they have a robot restaurant.
Robot bar. I've been wanting to go to this place. Now, I hate robots, but I have been wanting to go to the robot bar for like 5 years, ever since I found out about it. Me and my buddies have been planning a trip for 5 years to go to Tokyo for Wrestle Kingdom, which is the pro wrestling event, their WrestleMania, in early January is when it runs.
Okay.
And we just were terrible. We can't all get on the same schedule.
So wait, did it already happen?
Yeah, it happened.
Oh.
Yeah, happened on January 4th and 5th, so a couple weeks
it's
ago.
It's 2 days.
Well, they made it 2 days. First time this year, yes. I know everyone out there is very interested in Wrestle Kingdom. But
That is very cool. Now, this they have a restaurant where like the robots actually are like waiters and stuff. It's like Star Wars.
Yeah, no. I want
droids.
I want to check it out. Go get a view of your future. You can report back. We'll do a live hit with you.
Live hit from Tokyo,
yes,
where
Tokyo.
It is currently 6 a.m. I think, or 7 a.m.
That's 7 all right. Yeah. Hey, I do that. I do that Wednesday show with Misha Tate on satellite. She lives in Singapore. She gets up at 6 a.m.
Yeah, but the robot restaurant may not be open at 6 a.m.
It's all right. You can report from the prior night. That's what we'll do. You leave Thursday. That's right. You leave for Tokyo on Thursday.
Yes.
Because the Vegas Golden Knights are heading in to the break. The All-Star break. Before they do, though, they meet the Boston Bruins tonight in Boston. We'll be talking about that a little bit later in the show. And speaking of that game, though, coming up in about 2 hours at 4 o'clock, from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock, I'm going to be back out at Parkway Tavern out there at the District in Henderson, Green Valley, watching the game with y'all. Going to get you signed up for some prizes. Going to have some giveaways to throw your way, some movie tickets, some shirts, and every single time I've been out there, we've had a VGK autograph to give away. Last week, it was an autographed William Karlsson, Wild Bill Puck. And the cool part, the most cool, I don't even know if that's terrible phrasing. But the best part of me being out there is Finley Volvo wants to send you and a guest on the road to see the Vegas Golden Knights. And obviously, the drawing hasn't happened yet. Chances are that's going to be a pretty important game. Courtesy of Finley Volvo when you do get out there, because this push for the playoffs, and we'll get into it a little bit here shortly, Magnum, but this push for the playoffs, the Pacific Division is razor thin.
Yeah, they currently have 57 points. I believe they're only – and they're in fifth place.
Well, everyone has 57 points.
Yeah, it seems that way. You know, it's like when you look at the Pacific Division in the NHL right now, literally any team outside of maybe Anaheim – and the Kings and probably the Sharks could make the playoffs.
But I mean, like how you're saying maybe and probably, and your face is scrunching up. There's no telling. They're terrible teams. Don't get me wrong. You're right. They probably won't make the playoffs. But this division is so bad, and it's so average and just stuck in the mud that really, we'll see, man.
So right now, they're actually in fourth. I Coyotes must have dropped some percent. Oh, maybe because of goal differential or something along those lines. But Vancouver somehow, some way, has jumped to the top of the division with 58 points. Right behind them is Edmonton, Calgary, the Golden Knights, and the Coyotes, all with 57.
Just like we predicted it, Magnum.
Yes, and poor San Jose, 11 points behind.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem likely, but I mean,
almost 11 points in any other season. That's a
yeah.
It's not a runaway win for the division lead. Like you would say in almost any other, 11 points, you're not dead in the water. Now, when we talk about the Sharks, they're a pretty bad hockey team. You'd think they'd have some trouble, but we'll see, and we'll talk more about the game coming up. Big news in the Valley, Magnum. We knew Tuesday was going to be the day. Roger Goodell was in town last week and didn't want to give anything away when he was asked about the NFL draft, because today was the big unveil. We're going to get more into what was learned or what wasn't learned. I don't know. It was a very confusing rollout from the standpoint that the media reporting on it got a couple details wrong right off the jump. But what we are hearing It sounds exciting. We got Heidi Fang from the Review Journal stopping by in about 20 minutes to clear up some of the details. But what we heard originally, Magnum, and this is something that I had been saying for about a year, whenever they announced that the draft was going to be here in Vegas, I always thought that the Bellagio fountains would be the centerpiece just because I feel like it's one of those new age sort of monuments. You think of the end of Ocean's 11, you think of like a lot of shots of Vegas, the overhead shots, the cam shots, the drone shots. The fountains have become synonymous with Vegas. Now, I wasn't surprised. They announced it. They're actually going to be incorporating the fountains. I'll get to that in a second. But what we found out is that downtown Fremont, at least from the news today, is not going to be visited at all. And I'm a little disappointed at that.
I don't know how you don't include Fremont. Right.
Well, they're going to incorporate it in the look of the stage setup that they do down on the strip.
That's ridiculous.
I agree, because no one's going to know that that's an ode to Fremont Street.
Yes.
It is unfortunate because, as most people know, before the fountains, right? Before the boulevard as we know it today, Vegas was, and to a large extent for a lot of us, is Fremont.
Yeah, you go back to the Apache Hotel, the El Cortez, the Mint.
Hell, man,
Nugget.
When I came here 13 years ago, I broke in at the El Cortez. I was a blackjack dealer. Most people don't know that.
Wow.
I don't know if I've ever shared that story on the air before, but
away from that place.
Well, I came out here to be a sports writer. I came out here, for those that don't know, I came out here 13 years ago to cover the sport of mixed martial arts. I was still a senior in high school, I was still a senior in college. I was finishing up remotely. I had a semester to finish. So I came out here to get a jump start on my career. And I knew if I wanted to cover mixed martial arts, well, the best place to be was Las Vegas, right?
Yeah, makes sense.
But it was covering mixed martial arts. So you weren't making the money. Now, you're still pretty much the same. It's really hard to make a living just covering MMA. Now, I've been fortunate in my career to branch out.
But you can talk.
Well, yeah.
Not all sports writers can talk.
Well, I think it took some people to realize that it's not just MMA that I was passionate about.
Yeah.
I think MMA was the natural vessel at the time. Think 2006, 2007. But, I mean, I was a nut for sports, a collector. Notre Dame College season ticket basketball holder in the 90s.
Yes, Mitchell Trubisky has oftentimes felt the wrath of Big Mac.
Exactly. And before Mitchell Trubisky, it was Rex Grossman and Shane Matthews. And
Shane Matthews.
The list goes on and on and on, right, unfortunately. But
which bad quarterback has not played for the Chicago? Right. Like, basically, you name a bad quarterback. Right. What was the guy's name? Miller? Jim Miller?
Jim Miller?
Yes.
Cade McNown. I mentioned Cade McNown. Shane Matthews. You really start putting like Chad Hutchinson. I mean, you can really go down the doldrums of terrible quarterbacks. It's like you. It's like the Jets. There's just so much pain and suffering. But no, I came out here 13 years ago, broke in at the El Cortez, and as a blackjack dealer, as I said, and obviously for those of you that were around, you know how much Fremont, and specifically as we talk about the El Cortez, East Fremont has changed, not 13 years, but 7, 6, 5, however you want to view it, right? It has been going through a complete facelift in that time, but more so the history of that era. I really thought it was going to be incorporated in a more real way into the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't look like that's going to be the case. Again, we'll talk to Heidi Fang here shortly to get more details and ask her about that. Maybe there is going to be something that I missed. But talking about missing, a lot of people missed the unveil this morning, and even people who were there missed the exact details because the headline that we got, at least when I hit Twitter and I checked the news of the day and was getting caught up, was that the Bellagio fountains were going to be the main stage for the NFL draft. It had this great mock-up. It had this floating stage out on the water. And it was reported that draftees would be brought to the stage via boat.
Yeah, I saw that.
After their selections. The over-under on how many people were going to fall into the water had already started in faraway places on the offshore accounts.
Well, I mean, if you the Detroit Lions had the third overall pick, you know that the third overall pick was falling into the water. Because if Detroit's picking him, he's going over the edge. He may jump into the water.
Haven't Lions fans suffered enough? You started with the Bears. This is like NFC North day.
Yes.
You're just crushing.
You're up next, Green Bay.
Oh, the decline of the Green Bay Packers. And everything. No. That it doesn't look like that's going to be the case with the draft stage. In fact, that Bellagio setup is actually going to be a red carpet staging area. Okay.
Oh.
So it looks like that's going to be kind of the pomp and circumstance of night one, where you introduce everyone and you give them that big feel. The actual draft, best that I can understand it, is essentially going to be around the link area. And I guess, the Caesars Forum area. But that's confusing to me because Caesars is on the other side of the road.
Yes.
And then you say Caesars Forum, and I think Forum Shops.
Yes.
And I'm trying to picture what's to the right of the link, and I feel like
O'Shea's?
It's a lot of construction. Well, O'Shea's, yeah, but...
You got O'Shea's, you've got Harrah's.
Casino,
you know
left.
What? They should... No, that's to the right. If I'm coming down the link...
I'm saying if you're walking down the promenade and you're
okay.
All the shops.
Oh,
are, yeah.
Okay, to the left. Yeah, it's
so
just
O'Shea's
parking
is to your left.
And yeah.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So to the right, I'm
got
not
the high roller.
That's where the draft I think is taking place.
In and Out Burger.
In that general area. Now
Brooklyn
it's not
Bowl.
Happening. Right, it's not. You gonna want to do them all? You want to pull up the kiosk?
Yeah, why not?
I'll do it. Don't tempt me with a good time. So, I'm not exactly sure how this is gonna happen, the logistics of it. I know that they're shutting down the boulevard, which
getting down there is not going to be fun.
Well, you know, Vegas, you're used to it, right?
Yes. It's basically New Year's
Eve.
Yeah,
this is it. This is just, okay, this is going to be a once-in-a-lifetime thing. I mean, we may have the draft here more, but I'm just saying, start of the Raiders.
It's the first time.
Yeah. It's going to be this big deal.
It's a bucket list moment.
You just have to get right with... You're not going down. I mean, I don't know how many people actually have to. I feel for the people who work down there because that's going to be hell.
Yes.
Especially getting off at 5 or 6 o'clock. I don't even want to think about that. My
swing
wife.
Shift, yeah.
My wife works down there.
Just may want to get a room.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, wait.
Just post up. Oh, yeah. That'll be fun. Getting a room during the NFL draft. Let's see how that plays out. So they're going to shut down the strip. They will be reopening it after the draft that night, later at night. There's going to be multiple road closures again. We're just finding out the details. I'm still a little confused as to exactly what the staging area is going to look like, but thankfully we have Heidi Fang from the Las Vegas.
See, and I was hoping because
by here shortly.
I was going to make the bet that the first team where the fountains go off while they're drafting and it gets everybody wet was going to be the New York Jets. I mean, it was inevitable.
Oh, you're thinking about the failures. Detroit Lions team's going to drown their boat.
Yes,
Jets are going to get sprayed with fountains.
Well, it would be like when the Imagine Dragons played at the Stanley Cup Finals. Remember that warm up? The fountains went off.
Panic at the Disco. Player.
Oh, it was Panic at the Disco.
Get your synth bands right.
Yeah, my Vegas bands. They're both Vegas bands.
Yeah, they are.
But they were playing out on the stage at the Bellagio. Fountains went off. Got them soaked.
Oh, I remember. Oh, the wind was blowing.
Poor guys.
Well, yeah. Well, not actually poor. So.
I don't even, you know what?
Cookies.
I can't even think of a Panic of the Disco song off the top of my head. I know their
we
songs.
Know the song.
But, like, I don't know the names of them.
Well, the Goal song is a Panic at the Disco song.
Oh, Go Knights Go.
You didn't know, dude.
I did know that, yeah.
It's not Go Knights Go. What are you talking about?
Oh, what is it
it's
called?
It's not the name of this. I don't know the name of the damn song.
Okay.
I'm just saying, I know it's a Panic at the Disco song.
Right. Yeah, I know that, too.
Also, come on, dude. You are at every game. I am at every game.
I write Sins, Not Tragedies. That's Fall Out Boy.
How do we not know this?
I don't know. They all sound alike.
They do. That is true. That is true. Now we're the
Fall
old
Out
guys.
Boy's from Chicago,
now we're the old guys yelling at the sun.
Oh, God. All get right. off my lawn. Right. Panic at the Disco.
All right. So more on this NFL draft news kind of shortly with Heidi Fang. We have some late breaking news that just hit about an hour ago. And it's not great.
I saw you tweet it out. I know where you're going.
Yeah, it's not great, but I have to mention it. We've been laying off Antonio Brown, I feel like, pretty well, not giving credence to his rap songs and some of the more ridiculous things he's doing. I don't think we talked about Logan Paul that much, but we did mention last week that police were out at Antonio Brown's Hollywood, Florida home. He threw a bag of candied
phallic symbols?
Phallic gummies.
Yes.
He threw a bag of phallic gummies at his ex.
Who does that?
Antonio Brown, man. While also berating the police, cussing at him, calling them pigs. While his children were in attendance, being ushered into the cop car with the mother of their children.
What a wonderful role model.
Well, it was a horrible scene, right? It was just very concerning. It was highly emotional, erratic, just really odd. Even for a guy like Antonio Brown, who most of his stuff was kind of talked about in the press or reported on by people who were charging or accusing him of certain things. We didn't have video to go along with the insanity, but he decided last week to live stream that on Instagram. So we all got a view into the more unstable version of Antonio Brown, which we had seen at different points, but not full on just going completely nuts. Right. So we saw that last week. The Hollywood Police Department, who has a relationship with Brown, Brown was allowed to practice at their police facilities when he was trying to get back in the league. He donated to them. They had a good relationship. That was up until last week. The Hollywood Police Department gave back all of the money that Antonio Brown donated. Also banned him from using their field. And just, you really can't blame him. I mean, when you look at that video that Antonio Brown put on last week, the cops seemed more than patient. They were kind of like, that's the same expressions we did watching it. Just kind of like, they were just like, man, could this be over? That's kind of how we're all feeling, right? Well, it's not over. Headline, police. Antonio Brown suspect in battery probe. About an hour ago, first reports were coming out that there was a heavy, heavy police presence outside of Antonio Brown's Hollywood, Florida home. He is, as we find out now, a suspect in a battery probe. That is all I'm seeing as of last report, which this report from ESPN came down at 1:28, so about a half an hour ago, about 40 minutes ago. A police spokesman told ESPN that Brown is a suspect in an incident, but has not been arrested or charged. And police said the case does not involve a domestic dispute. Police described the scene as active. Brown's home is located in a gated community, yada, yada, yada. The story was first reported by TMZ. This is wild. Just from the standpoint that you can count on a police presence or something ridiculous involving Antonio Brown, almost as regular as the sun setting and the sun rising. Like, this is now, like, that headline came across. You saw my tweet. What was my tweet, Magnum?
Water is wet.
Water is wet. And that is really what this is. I wasn't surprised. This seems like another natural, albeit sad, steady progression into the darkness.
Yeah,
That Antonio Brown is falling because he doesn't have the league. We know that. I see a lot of this with fighting, right? When someone doesn't have fighting, Conor McGregor, you can see what can happen. John Jones, right? There's a lot of examples.
A lot of these guys have demons.
Right, exactly. Athletes in general, especially a guy like Antonio Brown who came from nothing and an influx of money and popularity and fame. Again, that is why I have always been on some level. I will call myself proudly. I'm not going to deny what I was and who I was and what I've done. I'll do it again for a different athlete. Why I will be an apologist and why I was an apologist for Antonio Brown. Right? I'm not making an apology for what he's doing now. It's clearly terrible. But the situations that so many Antonio Browns find themselves in, it is, you think you want to live it, and you probably do, right? It's a lot of money. I get that. But you don't want to live the 18 or 19 or 20 years buildup prior to what the payoff was for a guy like Antonio Brown, right?
A lot of these
athletes come from horrible, horrible situations and upbringings. And look at Josh Jacobs sleeping in his car. And that's not to say, listeners out there, I understand that not everyone is in perfect places. You may be out there listening, right? And you have financial troubles. Listen, it's America 2020. I feel you. I understand. I'm just trying to say, I have always empathized on some level with a story the likes of Antonio Brown. And even now, there is a part of me that empathizes is because it's so very clear that when you have a police presence at your house every week, something is seriously wrong.
Yeah,
I'm not the most stable guy. Like I'm a professional. I hold a bunch of jobs, but I'm an emotional guy. I don't get the cops called on me. I'm not saying I'm not. Please. This happened last week when I said I'm not getting pulled over going 75 and a 65.
Yeah, don't.
The very next day I got pulled over going to 75 and a 65.
Don't go Winona Ryder on us now.
This is mean.
That's an old reference. I'm not
trying to invite this karma on my soul. I'm just saying you really do to have this amount of controversy and police presence and headlines, you have to try. Like, you've got to literally be out of your mind because something is not overriding the crazy part of you to like, wait a minute, police are bad. I don't need this publicity. This is my bottom dollar. Drew Rosenhaus, his agent, we talked about it last week, Magnum, dropped him conditionally under the circumstances that he goes and seeks professional help. All right? And again, credit to Drew Rosenhaus. I can't say that enough. Credit to Drew Rosenhaus because we see it all the time with agents and managers. And hell, I feel like we've seen it with Drew Rosenhaus a couple of times where he probably stuck around a little too long.
Like Terrell Owens?
Maybe.
Doing push-ups in his driveway?
That never bothered me.
No?
No.
That was a goofy thing.
Compared to what we're... highlights perfectly why I didn't care at all about Terrell Owens.
And
cutting promos and being a bad teammate, or the perception of that. That was locker room nonsense. Competitiveness and a guy who wanted a new contract and wanted the ball. He had an ego. That's fine. He wasn't a danger to those around him.
No, at least that we know of. No.
At least that we know of, right. So, like, that's what I'm saying. But at different points, you know... I don't know exactly who he's repped, but agents, just in general, in my eyes, have a tendency maybe to be a little too coddling.
They don't have a good image.
Well, and I understand why they do it, too, because it is their security. It is their bottom dollar. At the end of the day, if you're trying to re-sign a new athlete, you don't want that ammo to say, well, you ditched him. You didn't stick by him at this.
Yeah.
So you almost have to go above and beyond when you're an agent and maybe flex your morals a little bit, which is why I was so glad to see Rosenhaus make that statement on Antonio Brown, because it shows that Drew Rosenhaus cares, right? Like, I really do think, like, he could make money still on Antonio Brown, but the fact that he's not and the fact that he's putting a full stop, it shows, number one, again, that Drew Rosenhaus has a heart, and it shows you how serious the situation is.
Well, he probably likes Antonio Brown, the person.
Sure.
He probably likes him. You know, he's had a relationship with him for a long time. And he probably does care about him. He probably wants to see this guy get help. I mean, look, there's people that we work with that I don't get along with everybody. I don't want to see bad things happen to those people. If they have problems, I want them to get help.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, the sad reality is there's another athlete who seems to continue to go lower and lower below rock bottom, and it kind of knocked him off. This Antonio Brown thing kind of knocked him out of the cycle, even though it was yesterday. Delonte West.
I know. We didn't even talk about
that. I mean, him getting – he's getting pummeled by some guy in the middle of the street.
Yeah, I didn't
and
know.
He's out cold, and the guy is still going wailing on him, and then they show him in cuffs.
Yeah, former NBA star Delonte West.
Mr. LeBron James.
Who was rumored to, yes, have slept with LeBron James's mother. And maybe one of the reasons he was no longer playing with LeBron James, but made a lot of money in his career. And yeah, for the last couple years, the story. I mean, there's been video of him. They say he's not homeless. He just has mental episodes where he ends up on the street. So,
and now, like, Jameer Nelson is reaching out to try to get help from some of his former teammates.
And I guess people have been reaching out to him. He's just out of his mind.
Yeah.
He's legitimately sick. He has serious mental health issues. And that is a great comparison, because I do think that Delonte West is the cautionary tale. Now, he made less money probably than Antonio Brown, but I don't know. NBA players get stupid money.
Yeah, but he
I'm
he
just saying it could be. Yeah. What I'm saying is it could be Antonio Brown.
It absolutely could be. I mean, you gotta think, right? Delonte West probably made between $18 and $25 million in his career.
Had to have, easily. Yeah, had to have. There's no way he didn't. You know what I mean? When you think about, again, the
NBA
money.
That's a real cautionary tale for not just. For Antonio Brown, for any athlete.
Yeah.
You know, and especially the NFL, because your money's not guaranteed. Now, your signing bonus is guaranteed, but your salary's not.
Yeah, he said he earned around $14 million in salary alone during his career.
So you figure with endorsements and other stuff and bonuses, he probably made close to $25 million.
That's rough, man. Absolutely
rough. And when I saw that video last night, it's not that I have any emotional attachment to Delonte West. I don't really care, but it was hard to watch, because I remember watching him at St. Joseph's. I remember watching him in the NBA, and it was hard to watch. I mean, that's a human being in the middle of the street getting his ass kicked,
and then there's people filming it,
and
people driving by.
She's putting it on her Instagram story with emojis, and it's like, how about you call the damn police?
And at one point in that video, for those of you that didn't see it, it looked like a homicide was happening.
Yeah.
The guy started stomping on his skull.
Yeah, he was out cold. Yeah,
real bad stuff. Real bad stuff. So let's hope Antonio Brown gets the help he needs. I just don't. That always feels like that doesn't happen until the money runs out. Like, we've seen this. This is not new. I've seen this a million times. You go until the God complex runs out. And
then you
hit rock bottom, and then you apologize, and you go to rehab, then you have your redemption story. I'm just, like, these athletes have to learn. I don't know if there's going to be a tipping point, a terminal length, as they call it. I just found out that happens with hair. that your hair reaches a terminal length, that you can grow your hair forever, but sometimes you just can't grow past a certain point.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
I found that out as well. But it feels like that's kind of the – it feels like you have that when you have the money, right?
Yeah.
That there's just no end that it – but it does. Everything runs out. That's kind of the point I'm getting at. And Antonio Brown is riding that wave of momentum, and until he truly runs out of money and truly finds himself at the bottom of the barrel –
it's hard to watch. I mean,
no, as because it's a human being. At the end of the day, it's a human being.
He's got a family. He's got kids.
And if this was OJ, all right, I would say something different. And listen, Antonio Brown may have some serious, serious demons in his closet, right?
But
the fact is, well, he's innocent until proven guilty. We need to see more on that. But as it stands right now, and again, I think you're still right, he's not OJ.
OJ, this is all for comedic value. I know you're listening, and you're only 3 miles away.
Yes, ha 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 ha, totally innocent juice. We were always behind you. Well, your guy since 94, Orenthal, we love you. Oh, man. Well, there's no easy segue to this, but I do feel like we have to touch on it coming off of Antonio Brown. You saw this news coming out of Los Angeles, the city council?
I did, yeah.
Yeah. So the Los Angeles City Council unanimously approved a resolution on Tuesday urging Major League Baseball to strip the World Series championship from the Astros and the Red Sox and award them to the Dodgers. Now, right. Okay, yes. That's fair.
All right. Los Angeles.
Well, now, hold on.
I like going to visit Los Angeles. It's a great place to visit. I would never want to live there for exactly nonsense like this. You know what? You have one of the – and God, I'm going to sound like the other side here. You have bigger fish to fry if you are the city council of Los Angeles.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. And also, Major League Baseball is not going to give you those World Series.
No, in fact, everybody's laughing at Los Angeles.
I'm not. I'm actually with Los Angeles from this standpoint. I am getting angrier and angrier as the weeks go by. Because last night, first of all, new videos keep popping up. We have the buzzer controversy from last week. Now there's new videos of trash cans banging and people are doing their sleuthing and their homework. And I don't want to be old man shaking his fist at the sun, but I'm going to be because I love baseball.
For the second time today.
Yeah, because I love baseball. And the integrity of the game has taken such a hit with this. From the standpoint of 2017 and 2018, all I can think about are those teams that were in the divisions with those other teams. Not even the World Series. Not even the World Series, which is horrible. Dodgers fans should be pissed. You're not going to get your championship back, but I do understand the frustration and the anger. However, let's think about all those other teams in the AL West. Think about all those other teams that the Astros played against and the Red Sox in the East when they were doing it, right? Think about those pitchers that were up for free agency and they had to face. What if that one unlucky pitcher ended up facing the Astros six times that year? And they got dinged up. They were at home. Let's just happen. I don't want the numbers to back this up. I'm just saying, theoretically, what if one in a contract career year?
If you're a guy in the Orioles, right. you go.
You're a pitcher.
6-15 on the year, but four of those losses happen to be to the Astros.
And
I don't
you should have been. And you should,
that.
No, I'm just saying you should have been 11-6.
Yeah.
And it was your contract year. And instead of getting, I don't know, $15 million a year, you get six or five or four. And I understand we're talking about millions. Or you're out of the league. Let's say you're a fringe guy. And that was your 1 week was
You're a middle relief pitcher.
Yeah, there you
and
go.
You come up from AAA
there
for the first time. And you face the Astros for a three-game series. Yep. And you pitch in two of them and give up eight runs.
This is why I'm pissed off. Because I don't think psychologically been able to unravel the layers of how deep this might go and how bad this is going to affect baseball and how bad it has already affected baseball, right?
Well, there's clearly Major League Baseball clearly does not want this to continue to be
a story. They
want
it
to go away.
They will do anything to bury this, yes.
The problem is, and the good thing for baseball, I guess, is reality is baseball probably is still being dominated by the NFL, right? Like the timing could not have been better for Major League Baseball just because you have the NFL playoffs, the Super Bowl, the whole Patriots thing, videotaping again that the NFL still hasn't decided on a punishment.
I don't know how they get on the other side of this. This is a stain that will stick with them. That
yeah,
again,
but they've overcome everything.
Yeah,
Major League Baseball
overcome two declining ratings and yeah, but, you know, median age of a watcher being in the 50s. I think.
But you look at the salaries of the players, and that's really all that the players
TV.
Care about.
That's TV, and yes. That's all the league cares about.
Yeah,
that's why the league's lazy. That's why the sport isn't growing, because they got their TV deals.
Yeah,
so they're not going to force Mike Trout to go out and do media. They're not going to force their players to go. They're not going to push their stars. They got the bags, and they are comfortable.
Yeah,
and comfort breeds contempt, complacency. You know the saying. Disheartening. Very disheartening.
Baseball has overcome the Black Sox.
Yeah, for sure.
They've overcome racism.
Yeah, we'll see.
Right? They've overcome the strike.
Listen, baseball's not going
steroids,
anywhere.
But,
right.
But
this is just another notch of the belt is stupid.
The big question I have is, how much will ratings decline? Because it's already not exactly watched by a lot of people.
I think the Red Sox had some of their lowest numbers ever this year.
And, well, they stunk, too.
That helped.
But
hurt.
You know, the reality is, I turn on the TV on Saturday. Every single game is either a night game or it's on the package. If I'm sitting around on a Saturday afternoon with nothing to do, I want to turn on TV and see a baseball game.
I'm with you.
In the middle of the summer. And I hate that I don't get that. Instead, I get Jeff Corwin's Animal Planet or whatever it is on Channel 3.
I'm with you.
I want baseball on and you know what? Bring back doubleheaders. People like that stuff.
I agree. Baseball fans are always going to love it. You got to keep them happy, and this is definitely not doing that. All right, speaking of people keeping y'all happy, Mac Attack listeners out there, we got another giveaway to get to today. Mentioned the Boston Bruins are playing the Vegas Golden Knights tonight. I'm going to be out at Parkway Tavern from 4 to 6 getting you ready for the game. Got drink specials. Going to be doing giveaways and prizes, and I want to get you signed up courtesy of Finley Volvo to win two tickets to see the Vegas Golden Knights on the road. The Vegas Golden Knights, though, they're playing the Boston Bruins. The last time they played, how many goals they score? 7 goals combined between
final
the
score,
two?
Bruins beat the Golden Knights 4-3.
4-3. 4-3. All right. With that in mind, we are going to take the total number of goals, which was 7, and you be the 7th caller into the Mac Attack right now. 7th caller, 365-9200, and you're going to win some tickets to go out and see the great show at Cosmo from the creators of Absinthe. It is Opium. We got 2 tickets to give away. All you got to do is be caller number 7 right now on the Mac Attack, 365-9200, and you will be a winner. Coming up next here on the Mac Attack, Heidi Fang from the Review Journal, talking NFL Draft.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan McKinnell on 920 The Game.
All right, we are back here on the Mac Attack. I'm going to be joined by Heidi Fang here in a second. Experience some small technical difficulties, but we will get it figured out because that's what we do here on the Mac Attack. We're problem solvers, damn it. Congrats to Madeline on winning those tickets out to see Opium out at the Cosmo. We got Heidi Magnum? We do! Heidi Fang from the Las Vegas Review Journal stopping by. Damn the technical difficulties. We make things happen here on this show, Heidi.
That was my pretend, like, technical difficulty noise. I don't know how it played out.
It worked. It scared the bejesus out of me. I was like, oh, so those technical difficulties are not worked out. Wonderful. So we'll cut off with Heidi. Thanks for the time. No, Heidi, we really appreciate you giving us a few minutes. I know you've been out and about. You were at the draft unveil today. But before we get to that, it has been a couple of weeks since we talked to you, pal. And in those couple of weeks, well, I just got to say congratulations on your Niners reaching the Super Bowl. I know you've got to be pretty excited.
Just a little. The fact that I get to go to Miami to actually be out there as well is going to be amazing. So, you know, it's all you could ask for in a job and as a fan.
So what is your nerve level that Pat Mahomes is on the other side of the ball?
You know what? It's not too much because I have a lot of faith in the defense. I really do. So I have more faith in the 49er defense than I do in the Chiefs offensive line.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Just dripping in confidence. I like it. I like it. We're gonna have to catch up next week when you are down in Miami and get some reports from the Super Bowl, because I'm very interested to hear what that's gonna be like. And as you said, you know, living a dream. You really are, Heidi, and I'm really happy for you. So we'll look forward to next week and you getting down there. But for right now, you were down at the NFL Draft Unveil down. Where was that happening today? Where was the meeting?
It was in the Clark County Commission government building. Ooh. Over by the Grand Central Parkway. Say that three times fast.
Exciting.
And, they had it out there, you know, downtown in the old building, and it was all just Raiders brass was there, as well as all the commissioners. And in addition to that, they had some people out from the NFL. So there were people that were able to explain everything, and infrastructure-wise from Caesars. So there's a lot happening, a lot going on.
Well, speaking of a lot happening, a lot going on, initial reports were that the Bellagio was going to host the main stage and draftees were going to be brought up on a boat. That's not the case, correct, Heidi?
That is correct. So what's going to happen is the Bellagio is not the main stage, but it's more of like the introductory phase. Like,
right.
Here are your draft picks. Here is Joe Burrow, and he's on this boat, and doesn't his hair look fabulous? And then they're going to interview him, and then he's going to be escorted off of that red carpet, taken on a boat yet again, and then driven over to the Caesars, where the main stage will be. That's where they'll have Goodell waiting, and that's where they're going to be doing all the picks and the announcements from.
Now, Heidi, you say Caesars, but it's not Caesars Palace. It's Caesars across the street.
Forum.
Right.
Yeah.
But what is? I don't even know what that is. It's like when I hear Caesars Forum, I think of the Forum Shops. This is Caesars Forum, which is in the Link. So that's like their auditorium. What exactly is that?
Yeah, it looks to me from the renderings, because I've been checking these out as well, just to get a better perspective of things. It looks like what's going to happen is they're building a stage, and that stage will be built just like kind of to the right of the Link through a hallway that they're going to build. Like, you know how the Fremont Street Experience is when you walk through the tunnel and you look up at the lights?
Right.
Well, imagine if, I think the Fremont Street does have this, but it's just going to be on a bigger scale. So at the end of that is a stage, and that's going to be the main stage. So for me, I think it logistically isn't the best place, just because if you've ever walked down that Link Promenade, now imagine it's going to be closed off, but in some respects, but imagine flooding a bunch of people into that area.
Narrow.
It's going to be really packed.
Yeah, it's narrow.
Yeah. But they do have on this rendering, it looks like where they're going to have their NFL experience area, where they have those like 40-meter dashes and all, 40-yard dash, sorry, because we're yards here. So it's a 40-yard dash, and they're going to have that adjacent to it in the parking lot where you would normally park for the Link. So that's what it looks like to me. It's in between the Westin and that Caesars Forum area. So they're going to be building a lot to be able to house all of this properly.
All right, so we know about road closures. The boulevard's going to be closed down on those 3 days. Fans are going to be able to go on the boulevard and watch, but Heidi, what are they going to be watching if they're on the boulevard? Arrivals?
They can watch arrivals from the Bellagio. They can also go, and they can, I believe, see the Vince Lombardi trophies from out there. There's going to be all the fan experience stuff. So the Raiders said that they're also going to be presenting something to also be able to see. Now, a lot of people are speculating that the Raiders might do some sort of concert or something out near either where they have the Vince Lombardi trophies or somewhere near the stadium.
Okay.
Obviously, the stadium is still under construction. But if you imagine putting a whole bunch of speakers out there and filling people in out and around that area, maybe you could make it work. But I'm not sure exactly where the Raiders at their stadium would have any room for anything. But I mean, if you potentially imagine that they lay out the pavement for what would be the parking areas outside that stadium, that can be done fairly soon and before the draft, and then you have the whole area out there to maybe have some sort of event.
All right. So we're here with Heidi Fang from the Review Journal. Heidi, what else did you learn from this unveiling, I guess? What type of crowds are the NFL expecting? What type of contingency plans do they have for that? And maybe what are some of the other details we might have missed?
What I learned, I've lived in a lot of big cities, and New York was my last home before Vegas was. And if when I lived in New York, like most vegans do, the place you avoided there was Times Square on New Year's Eve, and I think a lot of right. locals here avoid the Strip right. on New Year's Eve. So in the sense of the amount of people expected, they are projecting as many as 700,000 people over the three-day period in this vicinity. So they're trying to figure out parking. They're trying to figure out logistics of how the Strip can hold that many people, security they're working on, and also, of course, the construction of all of the different things that need to be put in place for this to happen and go off without a hitch. Because you have casino workers as well that need to get to their daily job on top of the amount of things happening around this event, which, I mean, some of the things start as early as 9 a.m. and can go on till as late as 9 p.m. So that is a lot of hours to have to maintain, whereas when you look at New Year's Eve, it's a period of maybe 3 to 4 hours where you're shutting things down from 6 o'clock till, you know, 1 a.m., and then you're like, okay, we can reopen now. So this is going to be on a much larger scale. So I'm projecting the feel that I got was, I don't know if this city is ready for this, but Vegas has pulled off things before when the anticipation was high and it went off without a hitch, so we're going to have to see if they can do it again.
Well, Rick Velota, one of your gaming and tourism reporter over there at the Review Journal, he reported that 1,500 to 3,000 workers are expected to be hired locally for the draft venue construction process projects, I should say, Heidi. And there are a few things, as you said, yes, the stage and all these things are going to be constructed that we've seen the renderings for. But there's also going to be like a walkway that's going to be constructed over the boulevard to carry draftees. Is that my understanding?
Yeah, there is. So they are doing that as well, and I'm not exactly sure. I'm looking over the renderings right now as we speak to see exactly where they're putting that, because this whole draft plan basically encompasses the area from East Harmon Avenue, which, if you're familiar with that area, is where the Planet Hollywood and Cosmo are, to through Flamingo, that's where in between Bellagio and Caesar's Palace is, and on the other side is Bally's. And then you go all the way to the Venetian Sands Expo area on that road as far as closures. So this Oof. That's like where the Dre's nightclub is and everything else. So right. there's going to be a lot of areas. But I did hear that that was going to happen. The draft theater, from what I can see, is going to be somewhere near Koval Lane. It has it blocked out. But just by the rendering that I'm looking at, I can't tell if that faces out towards Koval, or if they're also going to do this on the Strip as well. But I mean, they could link into so many different marquees, I'm sure, to put like all the announcements out there. They're all over the Strip, so why not make use of what's in place?
Yeah, the entry arch, it looks like, is going to be over Flamingo, right there at the boulevard between Bally's and the Cromwell. That's what it's looking like. Yeah, point mm-hmm. being, there's going to be a hell of a lot of stuff going on come April. I know you're going to be boots on the ground. We'll be covering it together, Heidi. I'm looking forward to it. But next week, Heidi, I will not be there. You are going to be down there in Miami in the Super Bowl, Kansas City Chiefs, taking on your San Francisco 49ers. I'm looking forward to it. I know you are, too. We'll talk to you then. Sound good?
That sounds great.
All right. Heidi Fang from the Las Vegas Review Journal. You can find her out on Twitter at Heidi Fang. All right. When we come back, we got a Vegas Golden Knights game to talk about it. We will do just that. Magnum will fill us in. We got some injuries to talk about, maybe some line changes, and one more final game for Pete DeBoer to get in the win column before the Vegas Golden Knights head out for the All-Star break. We'll talk about it when we come back.
Here come the drums.
You're listening to The Mac Attack.
All right. Well, we talked about it at the beginning of the show. The Pacific Division in the NHL is as close as it can possibly get. This is from the National Hockey League's PR team. Quote, within a full regular season, the last time the top five teams within a division were separated by 1 point in January or later was the Norris Division on January 1st, 1987. Magnum, it has been over 30 years since a division this late in the season has been separated by 1 point. It feels like the Vegas Golden Knights are one of the best teams in the Pacific, even with the stuff that they've been going through. I get it. Talent-wise is what I'm talking about. This team has talent. Last time I checked, Shea Theodore was still on the blue line. Last time I checked, Marc-Andre Fleury was still man in the net. Last time I checked, Mark Stone, Max Pacioretty, and the crew, right, are still there. They're not really dealing with injuries. They're not really I mean, I understand they are now. We get the injury news about William Karlsson and Cody Glass. That's fine. But in terms of what it's been like in prior seasons, I don't think there's anything you can really point to as why the Vegas Golden Knights have been failing in the way they've been failing, at least over the last, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks.
Well, here's the crazy thing right now about the NHL. 5 teams from the Pacific are in the playoffs right now, which I think most people were expecting 3 teams to make it. Yeah. But if 5 teams are in right now, Vegas is the second wild card. They would play Vancouver in the first round. So sign me up for that.
Yeah,
if I'm a Golden Knights fan.
Even going on the road. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, sign me up for that one. And then they would play the winner of the Oilers and the Flames. So somehow this team, despite the fact that they're in fourth place.
Should they just stay hovering around fourth?
If it means them playing Vancouver in the first round, then Edmonton, Calgary in the second, yeah, I think so. Because you first of all, there's a lot of bad blood right now between Edmonton and Calgary. There's a lot going on.
What's going on with them?
Well, a couple nights ago, Matthew Tkachuk decided to take a couple shots at Zach Cassian of the Edmonton Oilers.
The Tkachuks, whether it be Brady or Matthew, are both pretty good at that.
Unbelievably talented, 10-cent brains.
Well, unbelievably talented at a couple things. Being an asset to their team, offensively and defensively.
Good players.
And then also being an asset in terms of just being a problem, in terms of being a nuisance.
Well, we know Marc-Andre Fleury's had issues with Matthew Tkachuk in the past. So there were 3 instances, and finally Zach Cassian decided he was dropping the gloves whether Tkachuk wanted to or not. And Cassian beat the hell out of him, threw him to the ground, picked him up, beat on him some more, threw him back to the ground before the referees finally...
Is it bad that I don't have a problem with that?
No, it's
not.
Because
if you watch the way Matt Tkachuk plays, he plays like someone who's never gotten his ass kicked before.
And it prompted this war of words between the two.
Okay.
Where Tkachuk basically saying, hey, you know what? I didn't drop my gloves. What you did is wrong. You assaulted me. The NHL suspends Cassian for 2 games. And then James Neal gets involved, former Golden Knight James Neal, who now is a member of the Edmonton Oilers, and says, hey, you know what? If you do what Matthew Tkachuk did, you've got to answer the bell. And Neal's comments are basically like, look, I'm not going to skate and target Milan Lucic because I know what's waiting for me if I do. So you have to man up. If you're going to do it, you've got to man up and be willing to drop the gloves if Cassian says, hey, you know what? Let's go. Matthew Tkachuk, not willing to do it. He got his ass kicked. And I think a lot of people around the league actually were happy to see that.
All right, so Vegas Golden Knights take it on the Boston Bruins here in about an hour. I'm going to be out at the Parkway Tavern.
David Pastrnak.
I'll be out at the Parkway Tavern at the District in Green Valley from 4 to 6, signing you guys up to win a Volvo road trip courtesy of Finley Volvo. Also going to be having some giveaways, some prizes, some autographs. And they got beer specials and food specials as well. So if you're out in that area, come by, say hello, come kick it, and watch this game. Magnum, what can I expect? Boston Bruins, pretty good hockey team.
Yes, I think I think this is it's tough sledding for the Golden Knights tonight because Boston's had a few days to stew in their anger over blowing that big goal lead against the Penguins on Sunday afternoon. It's not a good matchup for the Golden Knights. I feel Boston brings... To me, Boston is a team that should be in contention to win the Stanley Cup. Like they just look like a team. Them, Pittsburgh, Washington, Tampa all look like teams that are going to win, have the ability to raise that cup. St. Louis right now, the only one in the West. I just don't like the matchup for the Golden Knights.
Well, it's understandable. We also know that Marc-Andre Fleury will be in net tonight, so that means he will serve his 1-game suspension because he is getting a suspension for not participating in the All-Star game. He will serve that after the All-Star break against Carolina.
Yes, the first game back.
Right, correct. We got an update on William Karlsson or Cody Glass?
Pete DeBoer says they should be back soon. They will not play tonight. They are on the trip, so there's a good chance that maybe they will be playing after the break, which is in 10 days.
All right. How worried are you about this team right now?
I'm still not worried.
Okay. I'm not really either. But
I just feel that the division is so bad, and they've done enough the last few months to get back into it.
And I feel like they know how to win. Unlike Edmonton, unlike Vancouver.
They've been there before.
Yep. Yes. That year 3 team, the veterans that have had that playoff experience, but they have. They have. Hellish Game 7 last year, and obviously year 1, Stanley Cup. So Vegas Golden Knights taking on the Bruins. Get down there. Parkway Tavern out there at the District. I'll see you in about an hour.
money just to say that I'm rich.